Mishnah Yomi, we have so far completed the first four Mishnayos in the first parak of Maseches Brachos. Today, God willing, Bezos Hashem, we're going to complete the final Mishnah in the first parak and begin with the first Mishnah in the second parak. It says the final Mishnah in the first parak, a very well-known Mishnah that we cite Seder night during the Haggadah. Maskirin Yetzias Mitzrayim Balelos. That says the Mishnah rules that even at night we recite the third paragraph of Kriyat Shema that mentions Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus from Egypt, even though one perhaps could argue that that final paragraph is not necessary at night, since it contains the mitzvah of tzitzis. It says Risam Oso, that when you see the tzitzis, we don't see the tzitzis at night, and therefore one is exempt, strictly speaking, from tzitzis at night. Nonetheless, one still mentions that final paragraph because it contains an additional mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, remembering the going out of Egypt. And now says the Mishnah, Amar Rebbe Lazar ben Azariah, Harei ani kiben shivim shana v'lo zachisi shiti amar Yetzias Mitzrayim balelos. That is, Rebbe Lazar ben Azariah said, it's as if I'm 70 years old, or I am like 70 years old, and I was never zocha, never merited saying, of knowing about the saying of Yetzias Mitzrayim at night. Ad shadarsha ben Zoma, until ben Zoma came along. And so the Mefarshim explained, what does he mean, first of all, that I'm like 70 years old? So either that it's the Mishnah is invoking the Gemara in the fourth parak of Brachos that explains that Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah came ahead of the yeshiva in Yavna, that he actually was much younger than 70. He was only a teenager, and the night before he became the new Nasi, the new head of the yeshiva, so he grew some white in his beard, and it he looked like he gave off the appearance that he was 70 years old. The Rambam says differently. The Rambam suggests that he looked like he was 70 because he spent so much time toiling in Torah his entire life. He was involved with the with Limud HaTorah, with struggling day and night, looking at the Torah from all different directions, and that toil and that hard work that he put in, it caused him to age, at least the appearance of him getting older. And he looked like he was 70, but in fact he was much younger. And he says here, "Lo zachisi, I never was zocha, never merited." What does that mean? I never merited to know about this idea of Yetzias Mitzrayim at night, that the mitzvah of Yetzias Mitzrayim applies not only during the day but at night as well. So the Rambam says, of course, he was aware of the mitzvah, that the mitzvah to invoke Yetzias Mitzrayim has to take place at night as well as during the day, but he was never able to find the source in the Torah that actually requires that. The other possibility that the Rav here explains that he was never able to prevail over the Chachamim in understanding the Pasuk. As we'll see in a second, the machlokas that's going to be cited here between Ben Zom and Chachamim. So he was never able to be zocha to prove that he was correct. Whichever way you understand it, the Mishnah now continues with him citing the pasuk that supports the idea, according to Ben Zoma, that one in fact is obligated to recite or invoke Yetzias Mitzrayim even at night. What does Ben Zoma say? Quotes a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh that we read always in Chutz Laaretz at the end of Yontif on the Kol Bachor and the eighth day of Pesach and on Shemini Atzeres and the second day of Shavuos. L'man tiskoros yom tzeitzcha me'aretz Yitzrayim kol yimei chayecha. The one should remember the going out of Egypt all the day of their lives. Yimei chayecha, when it says the day of their lives, yimei is hayamim, during daylight. During daylight hours, one should remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. Kol yimei chayecha, all the days, that includes halelos. At night as well, one has to remember the going out of Egypt. Therefore, each morning as well as night, one has to fulfill this mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. We fulfill that mitzvah through the third paragraph of Shema, and therefore, even at night, when the maybe the first half of that paragraph, the tzitzis doesn't apply because we're not required to wear tzitzis at night. But since the second half talks about Yetzias Mitzrayim, so therefore one is required to say that third paragraph as well. The Chachamim disagree with Ben Zoma. Do they completely disagree with Ben Zoma on the whole notion of saying Yetzias Mitzrayim at night, or they only disagree on the application of that particular pasuk, that the pasuk itself can't be a source? Because they understand the pasuk differently. Yimei chayecha olam hazeh. What it means, the days of your life, it means nowadays. Nowadays, in the time prior to the arrival of Mashiach, we have the mitzvah of remembering the going out of Egypt. Kol yimei chayecha, and all the days of your lives, l'havi l'mosa Mashiach. That includes the future as well. Even after Mashiach arrives, the Gemara explains that there was machlokas between Ben Zoma and the Chachamim on this point, was that the pasuk in Yirmiyahu seems to imply that in the future we will no longer remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's going to be eclipsed by the future Geula. Hinei yamim ba'im ne'um Hashem v'lo yomar od chay Hashem asher hela es b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. We're no longer going to invoke and think about Yetzias Mitzrayim in the future. That's Ben Zoma's approach. Takes the pasuk at face value, and we're not going to have this mitzvah in the future. But the Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim say it doesn't mean that we're totally going to forget what happened when HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. We'll still have the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, but obviously in terms of weighing the Geula, the redemption, the ultimate redemption is going to surpass, in terms of its magnitude, the past of redemption of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but nonetheless, we're still going to remember that as well, and therefore, even in the future, according to Chachamim, we will still have this mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's the last mishnah on the first parak. The first mishnah on the second parak tells us the following: Hayakori b'Torah. The person was reading the parsha of Shema. They were just they were limud Torah. They were learning the parsha of Shema, and vigiyas man hamikra. And all of a sudden, they look at their watch, and now it's time to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, whether in the morning or at night. So they were reading the parsha as mitzad limud Torah for learning Torah. Can they now also include and? Can they also have the ability to use that to also fulfill the mitzvah of reading the Shema at night and during the day? So says the Mishnah, I'm keeping libo yatsa. Yeah, if they have kavana, they are in fact yotze. Vimlav lo yatsa. And if not, they're not yotze. So here the Mefarshim discuss, and as well as the Gemara discusses, does this imply that mitzvos trichas kavana, that mitzvos require kavana? It sounds like yes, you need to have kavana. Only if you have kavana to fulfill the mitzvah, then will you get credit? Or the Gemara suggests, no, even according to the opinion that you don't need kavana, but what if you're just the person who was reading the Shema was only reading it to check to make sure that, let's say in the Sefer Torah, that the words were spelled correctly. They're checking grammar, but they weren't really reading it in terms of a kriya of an understanding, of an application. So that would not work in order to fulfill the mitzvah. But if you actually were reading it, even if you did not dafka have kavana to fulfill the mitzvah, you would be yotze according to that school of thought. Biprakim continues the Mishnah. What happens if you're in between paragraphs? And the next Mishnah that we'll see tomorrow, we'll discuss more what it exactly means in between paragraphs. But if you're in between paragraphs, shol mipnei akavod. So says the Mishnah, this first opinion of Rabbi Meir, that if someone passes by you, someone who's due proper kavod, like one's parent, one's teacher, or someone in general is just greater than them, b'chachma, with wisdom, you're allowed to give them a shalom aleichem, ask how they are, and interrupt your shema, umeshev, and you can also respond, and you can respond as well to them. Be'emsa, if you're in the middle of a paragraph, show them if they are yira. Then you can only ask how the person is doing. If you're afraid, if you don't say hello to them, the person is a king, someone very powerful, they may harm you in a very significant way. In that situation, you're allowed to say a shalom aleichem umeshiv, and you can respond as well. Divir Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He says be'emsa, in the middle of a paragraph, shol mipnei ayira. No, even in the middle of a paragraph, you can't just say hello to anyone. You can only say hello to someone if you're afraid. If you don't say something, they're going to harm you. Umeshiv, but you can respond if they initiate. Then you can respond if you're in the middle of a paragraph. Mipnei akavod, even if it's not someone who you're afraid of, but just someone you need to give proper kavod to. Like one's a parent or one's a rebbe, b'prakim, and if you are And if you are in between the paragraphs, shom epnei akavod umeshev shalom l'chol adam. And if you're in between paragraphs, then according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can even say a shom aleichem to one's parent, to one's rabbi, and one can even respond to anyone. You know, to anyone, even someone on equal footing with you, even lower than you, you can if they initiate, then you can respond. Okay, that's the end of the first Mishnah of the second parak. Tomorrow we'll continue with the second parak of Brachos and the second Mishnah.